Let me sound off in the beginning. We ain't losing, we back to winning. Hometown love, been repping from the start. Nothing but Niners, red and gold in my heart. And we go hard when it's time to play. May have left Frisco, but ain't left the Bay. Kyle Shanahan time, can he bring us back to get our sixth ring? Imagine that. Light shine bright at Levi whenever it's game day. Take a hit from Bowman, calling it May Day. Eric Reed ball out, getting the picks. New year, Garcon going deep for six. Can't forget about Hyde when he toting the rock. While Robinson outside, keeping it locked. Had a lot of legends, time to make some new ones. Nothing but Niners, haters come and get some. Yeah.
Oh yeah, what's going on, faithfuls? This is your boy Nick over here, and Mike, and from Nothing But Niners. Man, that rap gets me so hyped, but that's not the only thing that gets me hyped today. We have none other than the one and only 49ers.com senior Joe Fan. Joe, what's going on, buddy?
Fellas, how we doing? Before we get started, I gotta ask, who's dropping bars on the intro?
Oh, yeah, man. That was one of our buddies, Laquan. Met up with him on Twitter, and we got him to do that for us for our personal intro. What'd you think of it?
Big ups to your boy. That was awesome. I liked it.
Yeah. So we kind of tried to keep it different over here. So we were like, oh, we got to do this. And Laquan was good enough to go ahead and do that for us, man. So we get a lot of feedback from that thing. I'm glad you liked it.
You bet. You bet. So how are we doing today?
Good, good. What's going on, Mike?
Yeah, man. I'm doing great, man. I'm very excited to have you on here. Like you said, senior reporter for the San Francisco 49ers and 49ers Studios. I'm sure that we are not introducing Joe to anybody, but I feel privileged, honored to have you on, Joe, man. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Hey, the honor's all mine, guys. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we can go ahead and get into this. I mean, the team is kind of on a little break right now. OTAs just finished up yesterday. And so I guess we can start there, Joe. I just want to know, like, are you out there when all this stuff is happening, or are you more like in the studios and preparing to do other things?
Yeah, so I would say I'm treated very much like media when it comes to my access to practice. And so, you know, they've been going for the off-season program for, what, 2+ months now, and OTAs finished yesterday, and then next week there'll be a mandatory 3-day mini camp, and then guys are going to have you know, about 6 weeks off before they come back for the start of training camp and things really get going. So, but you know, when we're out there for open practice, I'm out there, you know, just like every other beat reporter, news station, you know, every other outlet. So, you know, I say that there's times where we have some extra access, but by and large, in terms of watching what's going on in the practice field, I mean, I'm still limited to the same rules that the Matt Maiocos and Eric Branches and Cam Inmans of the world are as well.
Okay. All right, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, they're never going to be too safe with who and how they allow people around the facility for that kind of stuff. But before we get into more team activities, I want to get to know more about the man, Joe Fan. And so I do have a couple of questions for you. And the first thing I'm going to ask you is, if you're single, like, what is Joe Fan about? And before you answer that, I just want to tell you why I'm asking this question. So I do a lot of research. I try to get all my ducks in order before we speak to somebody. And my wife walks by my laptop and she sees your picture in your bio that I'm reading. She's like, oh, who's that? He's kind of cute. And I'm like, okay, all right. So, you know, I'm not going to put a strike on the wife or anything for, you know, she's got good taste and all. All right. So I'll let that slide. But I just want to know, you know, is Joe Fan single?
Yeah, he is. He is. Nothing to add besides that. Yeah.
All right. And so I was looking through your bio and I see that you've done a lot of stuff, man. I mean, I see that you've done stuff for Seattle. You have done things for the Lakers, things for the Titans and all that. So I want to know, first of all, are you actually a Seahawks fan?
Yeah, and people ask me this question all the time, and I mean, you know, it's one of those things, you know, it's going to happen. You're going to get it from both ends when you take a job like this. I mean, basically, ever since I was, 5 years old. I've known I wanted to talk about sports for a living, and I am born and raised in the Seattle area. Baseball is my first love. Diehard Mariners fan. Then I picked up hoops, you know, in the 90s, you know, the Mariners and Sonics were so good. Then I would say around the Matt Hasselbeck era, I would say, you know, the Matt Hasselbeck, Sean Alexander era, I would say I started to pick up football a little bit more. And, you know, obviously the Seattle Seahawks were my team. And then went to college, was a broadcast journalism major, got an opportunity to work with a number of different teams down in Southern California as a senior, worked for the Lakers, which was kind of my first paid gig in professional sports. And they had a reporter named Mike Trudell, an in-house guy, and I was like, that's the path I want to go, and kind of decided from there. It worked out to where I got an internship back home with the Seahawks, doing some shooting and editing, and then working at UW as well as a PA announcer, and then got my opportunity in Nashville to go write for their website with the Titans, and that was an incredible experience. I think that was the first experience where it goes from you're a fan of the NFL to it's a career. And yeah, that was definitely an interesting transition where, I spend all day working at Titans game day. I might have been periodically just checking in to see if the Seahawks won, but there was no emotional attachment to where, like, I had, you know, you're investing 60 plus hours a week in another team.
Yeah,
there's just not enough time in the day to, like, you know, Seahawks lose, like, I'm worried about what's going on out here. So, gotcha. I mean, if anything, it's like, you know, my family and friends obviously still real into it. So, you know, for their sake, I'll keep tabs. It's from where I'm from. So it's just different. Like, you know, I think you have to take being a fan out of it, because win or lose, you have a job to do. And so you can't get hung up on what the scoreboard says, because, you know, obviously life's good when your team wins, but you got to go back to work the next day regardless. You don't really have the luxury of turning it off or, you know, celebrating when you win. Because, you know, like I said, there's a job to do regardless. And so, you know, like I said, it's funny when I took the job with the Niners. It's I got it from both sides, right? Niners fan. I tried to be very upfront with it right when I started. Like, listen, I'm from Seattle. I get it. You know, big rivalry. Like, I get it. Grew up a Seahawks fan. I get it. Like, give it all. Like, give me all your shots. Give me your best shot. Like, I'll take it. But then back home, like, friends and family are like, oh my gosh, how could you work for the San Francisco 49ers, public enemy number one? And it's like, listen, I got a career I'm trying to pursue right now. And, you know, I'm very lucky with how it worked out. You know, I've been here 2+ years now. I'm very honored to be a part of the organization. You know, it's fun to be, have, you know, now I have a rivalry with my friends and family back home. And so now that, you know, I get them on the side, like, all right, we'll root for the 49ers, except when they're playing Seattle. So I feel like I've made progress.
Yeah, that's definitely progress. That's big time right there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I remember seeing in your bio, you're like, Ducks again, Ducks from this.
Mm-hmm.
I remember.
I get it. I get how big the rivalry is, and I understand, you know, like, why are we going to trust this guy from Seattle? He grew up wearing a Seahawks jersey. You know, I try to, you know, have conversations with those people and engage those people and just kind of tell them that, you know, this is a career for me and something I've spent my whole life going to school for, doing unpaid internships for, grinding along the way to get to this point where, you know. So then on the other side, I have to explain to people in Seattle, like, all right, well, when the Seahawks and Niners play, you're rooting for the Seahawks, right? Well, it's like, well, no. I mean, this is my career. This is what I invest in right. on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, I think it's really interesting. I think the NFL in general is probably forever changed to a degree. You know, if I stop working for the 49ers, I'll never go back to being a diehard Seahawks fan. It's just no way, right? So I have no idea. So, you know, it's interesting, but I'm kind of just taking it day by day, and I'm really loving where I'm at right now. I'm happy to be here. It's great to be able to interact with so many great fans. And I think, you know, the more people kind of hear my story, and, you know, now that I've been here for 2 years, people have kind of respected the grind that, you know, I've taken to get here, and, you know, I'll always take a hard time, but if people are willing to listen to me, then, you know, that's great too.
Awesome. Great answer. I mean, that was the longest, like, maybe or kind of, but I appreciate it so much because there's so much detail. You got to be careful with how you say things, you know what I mean? Because I was ready to be like, oh man, Joe, I don't know, man, you're an enemy now, but that's really good. I really, really get it, man. Thanks.
Yeah, I know I was long-winded, but, you know, context is everything, and I don't want to, you know, I never want to beat around the bush and say, oh, you know, I hated the Seahawks growing up. It just wouldn't be true, man. I mean, think about it. I grew up in Seattle. Like, of course I was, you know, I didn't have a job yet, didn't have a career yet, and I just so chose that, you know, I, you know, was going to go into sports, and this is what happened. I will say, I won't be able to get on the Giants bandwagon or the A's bandwagon. I'm Mariners all day. Those are kind of my – the Mariners are my sacred cow. I mean, I'll never be able to work in baseball because, you know, I never want my fandom of my M's to be tainted, especially with the Sonics moving away to Oklahoma City, man. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, are you – now, this is not your first stop in professional sports. You already mentioned the Titans and, you know, interning for the Seahawks. And you've also done basketball. You covered the Lakers for a little bit as well, right?
Yeah, I was a PR intern for them, and so that was, again, a great experience. I wouldn't say I'm a Laker fan, but, you know, when you're in it every single day, it's a lot of fun. It's a great ride. I made some great connections there, and, you know, people I still keep in touch with and mentors that helped me get where I am now. And so, you know, the NBA is a lot of fun. You know, I'm heartbroken that the Sonics aren't in Seattle anymore, so I don't have a dog right in the fight. But, you know, I saw Kevin Durant's first ever game with the Seattle Supersonics. I saw him win Rookie of the Year, so... I'm a big KD fan, so for that reason, I'll say I pull for the Dubs.
Big game tonight. Big game
huge
tonight.
Huge game tonight. Yeah, huge game.
You think they're going to sweep?
I mean, yeah, my gut says yeah. They'll finish it up 16-0 in the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness. That's painful, man. That is absolutely painful. So I'm going to ask one last question, then I'm going to let Nick go ahead and jump in.
For sure.
So where was your favorite stop in this journalism journey that you've been on? And you know, what do you think the future holds for you?
Man, that's a good question, and I'll try not to be too long-winded because I know I can do that.
No, please, be as long-winded as you want. I wasn't saying that as a knock at all.
You know, I think it's different. I would say my favorite opportunity is what I'm doing right now, man. I'm loving where I'm at. I'm loving this new regime. I know we'll talk about it in just a little bit, but I'm really enjoying where I'm at right now. I'm a little bit closer to home. It's only a two-hour flight. You know, from San Jose or SFO real quick. But I will say the job I took in Nashville was a little bit of a leap of faith. It was a part-time gig. There was no guarantee of getting anything full-time. It was, you know, I didn't know a single person there. I'd never been to Nashville. And so it kind of just felt like my thing. And I was like, you know what? Like, I went to school for this. Like, I'm going to give this a shot. And I did, and it worked out, and like, so I'm part of the reason why I'm so grateful to be here is because of the journey that I went through my year in Nashville, and I'm so grateful to the Titans for giving me that opportunity. And the city of Nashville, if you haven't been, is absolutely fantastic. I try to make it back once in off season to visit some buddies there because it's such a great town, good people, good food, good vibes. I mean, absolutely. It's fantastic. And so I think that was my favorite stop, just from a sentimental standpoint, but from an opportunity standpoint, to be able to be the host of 49ers Live in our beautiful set in Levi's Stadium, to work with our 49ers Studios team led by Rob Alberino, has really been a joy. And I think I've gotten to work on some projects that, you know, I've gotten to be a better writer. I've gotten to be better on camera. I've learned a ton. And so I would say this stop is my favorite, but sentimentally, I got to go with Nashville and with the Titans.
Awesome, man. That's awesome. Yeah, my brother was stationed, I don't remember what city he was in exactly, but he was right on the border of Kentucky and Tennessee. And so I went out to visit him. He actually bought a house out there, was living there for a few years. And you're right, the area out there, it's beautiful, man. Yep. I love it out there, so you're absolutely right.
You guys give me some more background on you guys. Where are you at? Are you in the Bay Area, or are you spread out around the country?
Nick, you want to take this one?
So I'm originally from New Jersey, but I'm actually residing in Tampa, Florida now.
Okay.
I've been a Niners fan since, I mean, my first onesie was a Niners clothes because my mom and them are originally from San Ramon, and I have five sisters, and that's all they dressed me in growing up. So that's how I became a Niners fan. Been a diehard since, and my entire family's Niners fans, and but I reside in the state of Florida now, in Tampa. So,
and then as far as me, I live in Pennsylvania, but I grew up in New Jersey. I have family all up and down the East Coast. And I just, you know, it's nothing but Niners.com. We're everywhere, man, because we're going to be at all the games. We're going to be doing a whole bunch of different things. And, you know, we were at the draft, you know. It's just we're very passionate fans who want to try to get to people anywhere and as often as possible. So
I love it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun when you can get to talk about the team that you love and put your opinion out there and get other people's opinions as well. So, but with that being said, I just wanted to touch a couple personal questions here too. If you weren't in communications, what do you think you would be doing?
Man, that's a good question, because like I said, I've known what I wanted to do since I was like 5 years old, man. And the Mariners luckily had a Hall of Fame broadcaster from day one, Dave Niehaus. RIP, man, he's a legend. But I mean, he got me hooked on broadcasting. I mean, I remember staring at the TV on a nightly basis, listening to him. And so I've always known what I wanted to do. And so, to be quite honest with you, I have no idea, man. I try not to think about it because I don't know what I'd do. I'm sure I'd try to find something, but let's just say I'm grateful that it's worked out so far.
Yeah, it's that's a good thing. I mean, not a lot of people can say that when they decided at 5 years or 6 years old that what they wanted to do, they're doing. So that's awesome. You know, congratulations to you for living out your dream, and you know, I appreciate your work as well.
Appreciate that, Nick.
Yeah, no problem. But with that being said, so on April 15th, you put out that tweet, you know, thanking Nashville for their memory. So saying, you know, they'll be missed and stuff like that, but wheels up to Golden State. What was the emotion like when you got that call? And the second part of that question is, do you guys physically apply for those positions, or do you have, like, this is a joke, obviously, like a communication combine?
Yeah. No, it was a job. It was a job posting. It was open for, it was open for everybody. Scott Kegley was the man that hired me. Him and Rob Alberino in tandem, and so very grateful to both of them. And I think for me, you know, I think I was 25, almost 26 at this point, and I was still looking for my first full time job. And it's a grind; they're hard to come by. And so, just getting the phone call, and I mean, it was, you know, it was that kind of nod that your hard work is paying off, and people like what you do. You know, really just felt like a beginning for me. And so, you know, nice to move out here and be like, all right, I'm going to be able to set up some roots here. And that's the hard part. Being the new guy is tough, man. Like, it was hard in Nashville. You know, it was hard out here. You know, you take the Seattle thing out of it, it's still hard to be the new guy. And rightfully so, right? You got to earn people's trust with, are you good at what you do? Do you provide quality information? Are you likable? And so you got to earn that. And I think I finally feel like I'm getting there where people are, whether they agree or disagree with what I'm saying, I feel like people appreciate the work we're putting out as a collective team with 49ers Studios, and you know, have at least, you know, if they hate me, they're keeping it to themselves a little bit. So really, the journey of kind of getting to know the fan base and earning that trust, I think, to me, has been easily the best part. And you know, that was the best part of getting the call as well from Scott.
Awesome, man. Yeah, Scott Kegley was one of, like, I love his personality on screen. He just seemed like a cool guy. I know he went over to Minnesota, so we transitioned from there, and then it was Taylor Price, and then it seemed like we transitioned to you. And that's going to take me to my next question.
Yep.
I got nervous when I saw the 49ers announcing that they hired Keanu Martin.
Yep.
Keanu Martin.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm not lying. I got nervous. I'm like, oh my goodness, like, Joe's not leaving, is he? So is there something going on? Like, every time they make one of these announcements, it's like we got a year or two left, and then the previous person's out of here.
Nope. I'm not going anywhere. I'm still around. She's just a new member of our team, new face, you know, new insight, new input, new voice. She's been a great asset so far. Really great on camera. Going to be a part of our game day experience. We'll have some, you know, articles up on 49ers.com, ton of social videos. So she's just, you know, really dynamic talent, someone very different from myself, and she's been a great addition to the team so far.
And she was it the Titans also?
She was with the Denver Nuggets, actually. She's coming over from the NBA.
Nuggets, okay. Oh, yep. Nuggets, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, so that's awesome news, Joe, that, you know, you're not going anywhere, because a lot of fans love you. You know, I know that, you know, you probably hear that a lot, but I'm being serious. A lot of fans out there, you know, when they hear this, they're going to be like, oh my God, you have Joe Fan. Like, that's, that's exactly what it is, you know. And that, have you ever done a podcast with another, like, not your own podcast, but yeah,
no,
have you been a guest on that?
No, you guys are the first. You guys are the first. And so, I'm happy to be here, and I do appreciate the kind words. I mean, it's definitely humbling. You know, you want to be a likable guy, and I try to connect with people on Twitter as much as I can. But I mean, you and for you guys to have me on is a treat. Like I said, the pleasure is all mine.
Oh man, appreciate it. Yeah. So I just want to know one more thing, though. So we all have that one favorite hobby. What is Joe Fan's hobby outside of work?
Man, what is my favorite hobby? That is a good question. I would say playing hoops. I try to play hoops twice a week.
Okay, baller.
Yeah, I try to play hoops twice a week. And then, man, if it's nice out, like nice day, I want to be on the golf course. I'm not good, nice. But I want to be on the golf course. To me,
hey, a bad day at golfing is better than, you know.
Yeah, a good day at work, anytime. So. Yep, I wholeheartedly believe that. So that, I mean, anytime you can see a new place, try a new thing, that's great. But if we're talking just on your weekend, you got a free day and the weather's nice, love to be on the golf course.
Yeah, that's cool. I wanted to say, since you said you play hoops,
yep.
If you could build your team from any Niners players with you on it, who would you do?
Oh, with me on it. All right, well, let me see. Where am I going to put myself? I ain't the point. I'd either be the two or the three. So me and Bo would probably interchange at the two and the three. Okay. So I'll take Bo. Bruce Ellington's going to be my point guard. And then, I mean, I think I'm just going to go Twin Towers, Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, 4-5.
Wow. Okay.
So wow. I think you have a solid point guard, played at South Carolina in Bruce Ellington. Navarro Bowman's going to be your two, your slasher, get into the paint, finish at the rim. I'll be your spot-up shooter, typical white boy game, but I own it. and then you got the trees in the middle with Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner as your interchangeable 4 and 5.
Nice. Underneath it, those boys looking like Tim Duncan and Robinson. That's nice.
Yeah, see, they go get all the rebounds, so I just stand at the three-point line. It works out for me.
All right, that's actually a great transition question, Nick. I'm glad you did that. So let's get to some 49ers-related questions. I think we've probed Joe's personal life enough here, okay? So we understand, like, what the typical day is of a player. You know, they get to the facility, they start getting loose and things like that, you know, a little bit of studying, they hit the field, and then back to, you know, the ice tubs and stuff like that. But what are the typical day for you at work?
Yeah, I think it depends. But, like, yesterday, you come in, see if there's anything to tidy up from the day before, and we had open practice. So at noon, go out to practice for a couple of hours, and then there's about an hour to an hour and a half of media yesterday. So it's offensive coaches and couple players spoke, and then it's there. It's like, what's the top story? You know, is there anything that we need to be aware of or get out first? And you know, I always try to type up my practice notes first and get that out there just so people can kind of have a, you know, like a cursory view of at least what happened on the practice field, and then taking whatever's next and start chipping away at that. And so it varies, and there's always, you know, some bigger projects that are on the horizon. You know, I'll throw a quick tease out there, a little plug. I got a long form coming on Tom Rathman that I just finished up that I'm really excited about. You know, I got sat down with Tom for an hour. I got to talk to Frank Gore. I talked to Garrison Hirsch. I talked to Roger Craig. I talked to Steve Wallace. So when that drops, I'm going to be really excited about it. I think it's going to be well received by the faithful. I know the faithful really love Tom Rathman, and him going into the 49ers Hall of Fame is a big deal. And so just put a bow on that big feature. It's the biggest thing I've ever written. You know, 23 years of service to the organization, 15 as a coach, 8 as a player, I think is what the breakdown is. And so I tried to do his career justice, and so I'm excited for that to come out, and that'll probably be out in the next couple of weeks.
Awesome. That's awesome, man. I cannot wait to see that. I read it. That's
stuff. Yeah, and like I said, I mean, I always, you know, once your stuff comes out, I always watch or read it. You know, you do such a great job over there. But, and that's why, you know, one of the biggest things with you is I agree on your opinion. I don't think, you know, you do put things out there and you're not biased or anything like that. So I do love that about you. But transition into that. So you did say that you get to watch OTAs once in a while here and there on media days and stuff. Is there anybody that has stood out for you that the faithful should keep our eyes on?
Yeah, I think, I mean, defensively, you look at the capital that's been put in there draft pick-wise. I know Solomon Thomas isn't out there yet, but I'm really looking forward to watching DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas, and Eric Armstead line up on the same defensive line and just see what that looks like. But I think you look at, for me, Rashard Robinson has been fantastic. He's a guy who you wouldn't guess is a second-year player. I mean, he's a guy who brings the juice to practice on a daily basis, and he's not afraid to mix it up a little bit with his teammates. And you need that. You need somebody like that to bring the juice every day, because if you're someone who is you're having a down day, whatever, he's going to bring you up to his level. And Rashard Robinson is as competitive as a guy as you're going to see, as confident as a guy as you're going to see. I mean, even as a rookie last year in training camp, you heard guys like, you know, Antoine Bethea and Torrey Smith, you know, two of the better guys I've ever had a chance to work with, and they're both saying, like, man, this guy is something else, man. He is confident and talented, and he's hungry. You know, I mean, he had what he went through at LSU, and, you know, he's got this opportunity, and you really get this vibe that he's not going to waste it. He's not willing to waste it. He knows what's at stake. He knows how fleeting a career can be, you know, given the stuff that happened to LSU. And I think, if anything, man, that's only helped him, because he's bigger now. He's got a year under his belt with a strength and conditioning program with an NFL club. He's got an interception under his belt, a game-winning interception at that. He's got starting experience. And so he's not approaching this. I mean, it's really that you see the difference between a rookie and a second-year player, and it's really embodied by him and the swagger that he brings on a daily basis. I mean, he's a hype man when he's not in there. I mean, oh, he gets his first team reps, comes out, he's still engaged. He's a hype man for everybody else on the field.
Yeah, he's definitely a dog.
So you think he's going to be the most improved second-year player?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, you know, most improved, because I think he had a pretty dang good first year. But, yeah, I would say that the team is probably expects a lot out of him. And rightfully so. He's talented. He's got all the tools. So there's no reason why, you know, he can't have a fantastic year. But I think Buckner as well, I think, you know, Jeff Scandina, defensive line coach, was saying last week, I can tell you right now, DeForest Buckner's not going to play 1,000 snaps this year, which is how it should be. I mean, he was on the field entirely too long, and the fact that he was able to do so and as well as he did and not wear down at the end of games, like, you know, was very possible, and his motor that continued to run was very impressive, and it's a testament to him, his character as a football player and his abilities and athleticism as a football player. But him in a rotational role, being fresh, being a one-gap guy, really being able to, you know, excel on a play-to-play basis. I think I'm excited about Defoe as well. So I think those aren't groundbreaking names. It's not breaking news. But I think still, I mean, Faithful should be real excited about those two guys.
That's good. And before we, you know, delve into the players, I do want to ask something. You know, you've been around, what, since like 2015?
Yeah, right? I got here April 2015. So this will be my third season.
So that means that you've seen three, you know, changing of the guard, so to speak.
Yep.
So I want to ask about the aura around the building. Like, are the players that were, like, going through these changes, like, do they seem, like, reinvigorated? Like, how's the staff feel, the players? I mean, everyone. Like, what's the feel there? How's this one different this year?
I'll tell you, man. John Lynch is a special human being. I mean, he is a guy who you're like, man, I would run through a wall for this guy.
Wow.
I mean, he's smart. He's articulate. You can tell he's got a vision. You don't feel like he's selling false promises, right? And then Shanahan, you just think his pedigree as an offensive mind, as a coach, you buy into immediately. So that tandem, you've really felt the energy around. And again, they've said it over and over, it's going to be a process, but at least it feels like things are headed in the right direction. Players feel good about it. I mean, you see the guys who want to come sign here who, yeah, they're getting paid good money, but they still could have gone elsewhere. I mean, Elvis Dumervil being the latest example of that. I mean, the fact that he wanted to be a part of what John Lynch and what Kyle Shanahan are building, I think is a testament to what they've done so far. And yes, they haven't won any games, but right now they're winning the game of public perception, which is all they can do. And so for me, I think, yeah, the vibe, the aura, everything has been fantastic. It's been fun to be a part of. It's been fun to see. But then even so, it's like, okay, I'm here every day. And so am I getting clouded in, you know, hearing the message over and over and seeing it every day? Well, last week, Greg Cosell's in here for OTAs, and he's telling me you can see the difference. And so if this guy can come in here for 48 hours and recognize that this culture is already changing, and that was such a big thing that Jed York set out to do, was change the culture. Championship culture was what they used over and over and over again. If Greg Cosell can come in here, and one of the most respected names in sports media, or NFL media, I should say, comes in and says, yeah, you can see it, that's a testament to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's funny because I can sit there and say that one of our very first podcasts, I said that I was so excited that we hired John Lynch. And it was just like, you know, because there was a lot of like people were like, what? Wait, why? You know, it was just the question of hiring somebody who had no general manager experience. But knowing the guy, not knowing him personally, but knowing what his career has been like, he's always been a hard worker. He's always been dedicated. He's always been like a family man. And he's been true to his point. So I was very excited about that hire. And I think
it's going in the right direction. And not only that, but look, he's been successful in every single thing he does. I mean, he was a draft pick for the Florida Marlins in the second round. He was, you know, he started as a quarterback at Stanford. I mean, he put together a Hall of Fame career in the NFL. I mean, he was a broadcaster that went from the bottom of Fox's lineup to their number two group with Kevin Burkhardt. I mean, this guy's track record and resume are so exemplary. I mean, he's a golden boy. I mean, and I don't mean that in any sort of snark. I mean, he's just one of those guys that is just finds a way to be good at everything, whether it's being an athlete, whether it's interacting with people, whether it's having a vision and implementing it. I mean, all of the above, he's just shown over and over again, whatever the new venture is, that he's going to thrive in it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, you can see, like you said, you can see the culture changing already. I mean, from the players and like, you know, Greg talking about how well, you know, things have been changing. But you can see it, and it kind of reminds us of the Eddie DeBartolo years where, you know, because John Lynch even said, it's from the bottom to the top, you know, and everybody should be treated the same way. And that's what Eddie D did. So that was something big for this organization. And the players bought in. They completely bought in. And we all know what happened when that all happened. But, you know, so, but with saying that, do you have a favorite memory since joining the team? And what's your favorite thing about working for the team now?
Man, that's tough. There's a lot to choose from. My favorite memory of the team. I'll throw out a couple. I mean, sitting down with Jerry Rice at the desk, that was an incredible experience. You know, sitting down with Kyle Shanahan for that first one-on-one, getting to know him was a thrill. Sitting down with John Lynch for the you know, at the combine was, you know, really his world, his week. That was really neat. We were in the room where they interviewed all the prospects, and so that kind of behind the curtain look was really enjoyable. And so for me, the best part is telling stories and really the people, getting to know the people. Like I said, I mean, going back to, you know, obviously I've only been here a couple of years, but learning the history and getting to write the opportunity to talk to Frank Gore about Tom Rathman and why he thinks he's a, you know, a father figure in his life. I mean, that's powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, that's easily the people you get to meet and interact with and foster relationships with, and then the stories you get to tell, I think, easily, you know, above the wins, above the losses, above game day, above traveling, it's certainly that that part of it.
That's awesome, man. Nick, that was a great question, because I'm sitting here like I'm trying not to ask questions about this piece that you have coming out about sitting down with Rathman and talking to those running back greats from the 49ers. I mean, I love Garrison Hurst, so I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to try not to like dwell on it, but you, like you said, you sat with Rathman, Cosell. You were involved with Peter King as well when he was in the building, right?
Yep, yeah, so, chat with him when he was here for the draft.
So you've done all of these things. Like, how's that moment? Like, how do you get nervous when you're in those moments? Like, is that something that happens with you?
You know, it's funny. There's definitely times where, I don't know if it's nerves, but you get like a little bit of adrenaline, that kind of game day adrenaline, which is part of the fun. You know, any time we're about to go live on a live show, you know, that's, you get that little bit where like, all right, this is going out to the world right now, you know, and you have times where you have mess ups and that's just part of it and you move on. But I would say the last time I got, you know, if you want to use the word nervous, would be when I sat down with Coach Shanahan, because I hadn't met him yet. And so when he sat down, you know, this is my first impression, right? And he's coming in, it's his first, you know, head coaching gig. This is his first sit down interview. And this is his, you know, his first impression of me. And so, you know, I felt pressured to give a good interview, be engaging, make sure that, and that's never going to be the best part of his day, right? I mean, doing interviews.
Right.
But at least to where he leaves, you know, feeling one, 49ers Studios is, you know, they're professional. The setup was good. They were ready for me. You know, he asked insightful questions, yada, yada, yada. I think that was big for me. I think the response to that interview was pretty good, and people really enjoyed it. And so, and I think he, you know, as I don't want to say enjoy, but you know, as much as he can enjoy an experience like that, you know, when he first started with the organization, that was just a whirlwind for him. But I would say, yeah, I got real nervous then, just because you always want to make a good first impression, especially in this business.
Okay, so what do you think? I know it's really, really early, but Shanahan's transition from offensive coordinator to coach, and I know you don't have a lot of experience with him being an offensive coordinator, but you've seen other coaches in there. So how do you think he's doing as far as the transition?
I think it's too early to tell, like, how is he doing, right? They're still learning the offense. You have, you know, so many different players getting integrated into what they're doing, and it is fairly involved. It's pretty complex. I mean, Kyle Shanahan is he's an X's and O's guru. I mean, he's like a chess player looking five moves ahead. And so while that's fantastic, it's, you know, it's going to take some time for players to get up to speed before it starts working, you know, like a fine-tuned machine. But for me, it's just like when I'm at the combine and you're talking to different people, you know, the respect that he has around the league is astounding, and the reputation he's built for himself. And so for me, that's all I can go on so far, because, you know, he's earned this opportunity. You know, he found success in Washington with Robert Griffin III. You know, while Brian Hoyer was healthy, they had a winning record. I think they were 7-6. Yeah. In Cleveland in 2014, obviously, you know, we know what he did in Atlanta, building that group into a juggernaut. And so to me, it's what other people are willing to go on record and say about him that to me stands out the most.
Yeah, so I'm going to circle back around to the whole being nervous thing. And I wanted to ask you, and I know you were talking about how Shanahan, you were kind of nervous because it was the first impression and things like that. Have you ever been starstruck, and not just here, you know, in the 49ers and with the 49ers, but throughout your career, has that ever happened to you, or do you still feel starstruck around certain people?
Yeah, I mean, you try not to be, because, you know, so much of this job is you have to be professional. You can't, as much as I am a sports fan, you can't be a fan, you know, and so I'm very cautious about ever letting myself get too starstruck, but certainly there are moments. I mean, when I met Kobe, when I was working for the Lakers, that certainly was one. After my freshman year, I worked for 710 ESPN Seattle Radio and was in the Mariners dugout before a game, and Ken Griffey Jr. came up, and I met him, and that was my, you know, we want to talk childhood icons. I mean, Ken Griffey Jr. is my guy. You know, we talk heroes, you know, people grew up Joe Montana, Steve Young, Jerry Rice. I mean, for me, it's Ken Griffey Jr. And I would say the one time, obviously meeting all these guys is great, but when we were at Eddie DeBartolo's Hall of Fame dinner in San Francisco last year.
Oh my God.
I chatted with Joe Montana and Dwight Clark at the same time, and they were both telling me their memories of the catch. And I kind of blacked out a little bit, to be honest with you. And it was only about a minute 30, and they're, you know, had a drink in their hand or just really enjoy, you know, they're real having a good time and really relaxed and having fun with each other. And I'm just holding the microphone, just like letting them do their thing. And so they walk off, and I kind of look to my guy, Nick Burton, one of our producers. And I'm like, dude, we just interviewed Joe Montana and Dwight Clark about the catch. Yeah. At the same time.
Yeah.
So that kind of blew my mind a little bit. That was really cool.
Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then I got my last question, and I'm going to let Nick take it away. If there is a message for this fan base going forward that you want to leave for the fans, what would that message be?
Yeah, I think it's tough because you understand I'm a Mariners fan. We've haven't made the playoffs in 15 years plus. I think, you know, so preaching patience is difficult, but I would say just give it a chance. You know, I think give this process a chance. Give Kyle Shanahan, give John Lynch a chance to make this right. You know, I think it's not always going to be pretty. I mean, you know, you don't go from 2-14 to a Super Bowl team overnight. But give it a chance. You know, like, they're not making any decision without, you know, thinking everything through thoroughly. And so that'll be my, and also just try to enjoy it. I mean, get excited for a new football season with new players. I mean, Navarro Bowman's back healthy. You know, you've got a coach who, you know, brings something to the table that there's not many coaches in the league can do. And so I think that would be my, you know, message to the fans. And I don't think that should go anywhere necessarily. I don't think, you know, fans aren't looking to me for what's my message, but I would say, if you want my opinion on how things are, I would say I trust John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. And so I, maybe that's the better word, just trust that they are working their tails off to get this thing right. And I can't wait to see it unfold. I mean, there's no who knows what Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster are going to do. I mean, no one has any idea. But you got to be excited that those are two players you're walking out with on the first day of the NFL draft, while you pick up a second rounder and a third rounder for next year. I mean, that to me is a win.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm excited, man. Like I said, I keep telling people, I mean, it'll be nice to have a little bit of a break, you know, try to get a little vacation time in, but I'm ready for training camp. I'm ready to get this thing going.
Yeah,
I think we all are. Yep.
Absolutely. You know, I said that was my last one, but one of our writers wants me to ask you a very specific question. So I'm going to do this, and then I'll give it back to Nick. He wants to know how PETA and Jimmy Gilbert compare so far to Marcus Rush. And what did Robert Saleh mean when he said Jaquiski Tartt was playing some of the third?
Okay. Yeah. That's a lot to unpack.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. I think you said PETA, Taumoepenu and Jimmy Gilbert.
Is that the official pronunciation?
Taumoepenu. As I understand, yeah, say that okay. 10 times fast.
Nope.
Yeah, exactly.
He wanted to know how they compared so far to Marcus Rush, because Marcus Rush just absolutely lit the preseason on fire. So that's kind of like what he's asking about, you know, as far as being able to put some pressure on the quarterback, just from what you've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be totally candid with I've seen what, three practices now, and with 90 guys on the roster,
okay,
and just not getting to see them. Yeah, no pads. I mean, they're rotating reps so much. And so I don't even want to say one way or another whether, you know, I can't, you know, John Lynch said it best, man. I know what I don't know. And yeah. I think it's just way too early to really get to know them and what they're doing. I mean, Robert Saleh did say, you know, he likes what he sees in PETA. I know, I think Jimmy Gilbert, he's flashed a little bit, you know, certainly the guy like you've seen, but not necessarily like, oh man, he's setting the world on fire. He's going to win a roster spot. It's way too early for that. I mean, until training camp comes around,
yeah.
I think these are just guys rotating, getting reps, and, you know, really just understanding what their job is. Then in training camp, I think, is when you're really going to see competitions really start to take place across the board, offense, defense, special teams, all of that. I think right now is really more of a getting acclimated, getting to know each other, getting to know the coaches, getting to know the system, rather than, okay, I'm fighting for a job right this second.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you know, right. with you saying competitions, I just want to touch on one thing, because that reminded me of the tweet that went out between Rashard Robinson and Marquise Goodwin.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that or not. Like, early stages when Marquise Goodwin got signed or something, and then how'd it go? Mike Robinson said
they played each other last year. And there was like a little bit of smack talk going back and forth between them. Like, oh, he couldn't stick with me last year or something like that. And he was like, I got the better of you when we played you. They were like, steel sharpened steel. So let's get it.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, that was like early when we first signed Goodwin.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember that. I know the posts you're talking about. I'm familiar with those. But, you mean, nothing's happened yet between those two.
Yeah, so that's I'm excited to see that, and I'm also excited to see what Will Redmond can do. But we won't keep you that much longer. So I got one other question, and I'm sure that the fans would probably love me asking this question. But I know in your last in studio interview with Joe Staley, there was talk about the Joe Show.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that does come back? Because it's always been a fan favorite.
Yeah, I think we're gonna try, man. I think training camp is gonna be the time for that. So I don't want to – he sounded pretty confident like he wanted to do it.
He did. He's like, yeah,
that was him letting the cat out of the bag, and I didn't even bring it up.
Yep.
So he said it's probable, and yeah, so yeah, I'll probably go with his I'm probable. But I think if it's going to happen, I think training camp is when we're going to try to get the Joe Show back on its feet.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. I mean, it was always a fan favorite. It was just – you know, like you could always tell he loosened up the room, you know. But that's
he's a one of a kind personality. Yeah, that is
that's
for
how
sure.
Joe is. Yeah, that's how Joe is, and I love watching his interviews. And the Joe and Bo show was great too on the
the state of the franchise. Yeah, they were fantastic.
So, but Joe, once again, just I mean, not that you really need it, but let everybody know where they can find you at. You know, and you do reach out to a lot of fans, so I recommend that you guys, if you don't follow Joe Fan, make sure you do, because you're missing out on a lot. Great guy, great insight. And so, Joe, why don't you go ahead and let everybody know where they can find you, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Joe_Fan. But yeah, 49ers.com, 49ers social media channels. I'm kind of all over the place. You know, again, anyone who does follow along, I really appreciate it. I want to say again, I mean, you guys have welcomed me in my 2 years here, and it's been, you know, one of the highlights of my time with the 49ers so far is kind of, you know, getting to interact with different people on Twitter and kind of making connections that way. People who say hi in passing, whether it's at games. I got to meet a few people at the state of the franchise. I always love people say hello. I'm grateful for you guys asking me to be on. It's been a lot of fun. And looking forward to we'll do it again, man. Anytime you guys want me on, I'll help you guys out. I'll be here.
Oh, that's awesome. Right.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, Joe. I appreciate it.
And go ahead, Nick.
I mean, you got anything else, Mike?
No. That was it. I was going to wrap it up. I'm going to give a big round of applause to our guy, Joe Fan. Thank you for joining us, man. We really, really, really appreciate it. And Nick, you can go ahead and sign us out.
Sign us out like always over here at Nothing But Niners. Above all else, stay faithful. We're out.
So now they've got to start from deep in their end of the field, and Garrison Hurst takes advantage of it. He takes the handle, whips his right, gets to the 20. He's in the 30. Needs to cut in. He comes back up the right sideline. Breaks a third tackle. Comes down to the 30. He's down to the 20. He's down to the 10. He's down to the 5. He's in the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, 49ers. 96-yard run from scrimmage. Garrison Hurst breaking tackle after tackle. Sweeps down the sideline. Throws off bodies like clothes after a marathon.
Young, back to throw. In trouble, he's going to be sacked. No, gets away. He runs, gets away again, goes to the 40, gets away again, to the 35, cuts back at the 30, to the 20, the 50, the 10. He died. Touchdown, 49ers.
Third down, Alex takes the snap. Alex looking, got it, post, and it's good.
San Francisco 49ers, we can do whatever we want.